In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven. We are built, brothers and sisters, to give fitting and glory and praise to God. This is the reason we exist. And when we do the things of God here on earth, we participate in the sanctification that was won for us upon the cross. It is indeed God's desire that all men might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires, has willed, has set in motion salvation for us. On our part, all that is asked of us is that we do the will of God in every aspect of our daily lives. It may seem to be that then is a tall order to consistently do the things of God. But in truth, because grace is poured out upon grace in our lives, manifold graces bestowed upon us, given to us, precisely so that we can cooperate with God and accomplish the things of God. If we fail, it is not because God has willed it so, certainly, nor is it because God somehow tests us, somehow God dangles grace in front of us, but never actually brings it to fruition. If there is any failure, the failure belongs to us. And oftentimes, our failure is oftentimes caught up in the reality of sin itself. Sin which breeds, if you will, weakness, a lack of fortitude, an inability to be resolved and to be vigilant and do the things that we are asked to do. Sin weakens us and makes it difficult for us to cooperate with the grace of God. Therefore, the lives that are set before us are to do the things of God and to root out sin so that we can better do the things of God. In his exhortation to the Romans, we are reminded of the weakness of our flesh. And the Lord also reminds us of false prophets who come and prey upon us. Because we are given to weakness by virtue of the original sin of Adam and Eve and our own sins, which compound that weakness, we then become easy prey to the false prophets who whisper all sorts of lies into our ears to convince us that that which they believe, that which they say, is the way that we should go. Of course, we see where the church is now, the difficulty and the confusion that has beset her. And the false prophets that indeed have all sorts of manner of pulpits from which they can preach things that are heretical, things that lead us away, things that make us easy prey for wolves that come and seek to destroy us. We oftentimes then are left with wondering what it is that I should do or how I should behave or to whom I should listen. And in truth, brothers and sisters, we already know the answer to that. It's built in us. Deuteronomy says, and it becomes real and true, we know right from wrong. We know the truths of our faith. And anyone who deviates from those clearly is someone to whom we should not listen. Yes, there are areas of prudential judgment where there might be competing voices, but we're past prudential judgment now. And the world in which the church finds herself, the world that the church has put herself in, is precisely because she has sought confusion that has led to anger and despair and to division. And has now made us easy prey for all sorts of false voices proclaiming they are speaking truth, when in reality we know they are not. How do we know this? Because as the Lord also says, what's the fruit that they bear? What is the fruit in the last 50, 60 years of the life of the church? Where can we point where there has been any modicum, mod of success that has actually transpired? At every single data point that we can look at and assess, all we have been confronted with is failure. Except in one particular area of the life of the church, and that is those who have chosen to remain steadfast and constant with tradition. Tradition as it is expressed in the traditional sacraments, tradition as it is expressed in traditional religious life. A habit that is visible, a manner of living that is a moving one away from the things of the world and more deeply into relationship with God. Where we have stayed with the Lord, there has been fruit. When we walk away from the Lord and listen to the voice that lied to us, there is death and despair. And so choose life. And you know of what the choice consists, you know what it looks like, and you know what it is that you need to do. And unless you do not, then let me make it very simple and clear for you. Come to Holy Mass. If you can daily, do so. Go to confession on a regular basis and root out sinfulness in your life. Live a life of virtue that is connected to a life of prayer. Pray your rosary on a daily basis. Live well with those with whom you inhabit the same space. Practice charity on a daily basis. When you are wrong and sinful, ask for forgiveness. And when you are right, thank God for the grace that shines forth through you. Live a life of humility, simplicity, and poverty of spirit. These are the tried and true ways that men and women can grow in holiness and live as we ought to live, bearing fruit, so that in the fullness of time we can enjoy the fruits of God's kingdom. These are confusing times, and in all honesty, I think they will continue to be even more confusing. I would love to tell you that things are going to get better, but again, in the interest of full disclosure, there are no signs that would suggest that. What we do know is that we find ourselves more and more under attack, more and more assailed, more and more wolves that are coming after us. But we are not easy prey if we remain steadfast with the Lord. We are not easily given over to sin if we do the things that God asks us to do. Will it require something from us? Yes, as it always has, so it will even now. It requires sacrifice. It requires selflessness. It requires a willingness to let go of human relationship and human regard, not seeking the adulation of men, but only remaining steadfast in relationship with God. And while it may seem difficult to let go of these things, once you have let go of them, your life will be at peace. Why worry about what men think? Be only concerned about God. Why worry about what the world will do to you or say to you or about you? Only be concerned about the things of God. God has made it as easy for us as it can possibly be. Let us take advantage of that which God has bestowed upon us. Let us live rightly with Him so that we can bear good fruit in this life, in order that in the fullness of time, we can enjoy the fruits of everlasting life in His kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.